What is up, Act Dad family? Welcome to Act Dad, the Awesome Dad Show. I am your host, Mark Savant, and I am thrilled that you stopped in today. I've got a great guest for you today, and I think you're going to really appreciate this conversation. Today's guest is Heber Cannon, and he is just blowing up right now. He makes some of the most awesome posts on Instagram. He is fighting dad bod in a really compelling way. He's created some of the best documentaries on Netflix, four in the top 100, all revolving around CrossFit, health, and fitness. We delve into some great conversation today, and he reveals some of the most important things going on in his life and in the life of dad fitness. So this is definitely not a show you want to miss. If you're new here to the podcast, I would just ask that you take a moment to subscribe. That really means a lot and helps us to reach more awesome dads. I would also personally like to invite you to check out the Act Dad group over on Facebook. It's a phenomenal community full of some really awesome dads, and I think you'll really get a lot of value out of it. Look, that's all I got for you here in this intro. This is an awesome conversation. I cannot wait for you to hear it. So let's fire up the show. Let's go. Today, I am joined by someone that I'm thrilled to chat with, professional filmmaker, if you would, awesome dad, just living his best life. When I think about Act Dads, I think about dads getting out there, high energy, enjoying the moments now. And I don't think anyone does that quite as well as Mr. Heber Cannon. Heber, what is up?
What's up, guys? How are you, man?
Man, I am just living my best life, and I really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your busy day, your busy schedule, to join me. I think this interview could go a lot of different ways, Heber, but I want to start here. I think of you as a storyteller. So, Heber, what is your favorite story to either tell or read to your kids?
Ooh, I think lately we've been diving into the Star Wars realm. You know, my kids are 5 and 3, so we've been diving into to just kind of the whole canon, if you will, of all 9, 8 to this point Star Wars movies. So we just got a whole bunch of little books that kind of go along with the movies, and we've been diving into a galaxy far, far away, if you will.
Good versus evil, yin and yang, all of that good stuff.
All of it. Yep.
Love that. Love that. So, Heber, I've been following your page on Instagram for quite some time, and I got to say, you have a really unique, really exciting look. I want to ask you. Let's start here. How do you say 3 and 5? Are you married? What's your relationship like there?
Yep, married, happily married. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary over the weekend.
Congrats, dude. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thank you. And two dudes, Maverick and Finley, 5 and 3.
Very cool. So married, I've been together with my wife over 10, married for 5. We have a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. So we're going through that process. But the way that you celebrate dad life on your Instagram is really special. It's really powerful to watch. How'd you come up with that kind of theme?
I can't remember what it was. It was a few years ago. I just discovered an app where I could do it on my phone. So for those that don't know, are you talking about like the laser beams and dinosaurs and all that?
Sure. Laser beam, dinosaurs, jumping over things.
Yeah, I downloaded an app where I could add dinosaurs and explosions to some of my photos, and I was doing it for fun. And I got to a point where it was Maverick's birthday. I think he was turning 3. And I made like 8 or 9 of these pictures, and I printed them out and put them around the party so that all of his friends could see and appreciate his version of what the world was like. And then I thought they were kind of fun. So I started putting them on my Instagram where you could see a normal picture and then swipe to the right and see the version of what my kids see whenever we're playing. And so now I've got, I think, like 60 or 70 throughout my Instagram page of me with my kids in one photo. And then you swipe to the right and you can see the version that they're seeing, or some of them are the first picture within a carousel.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone do that on Instagram. There's obviously a lot of pages and accounts out there, but I've never seen anyone do it quite as well as you do. There's a lot of like Photoshop stuff going on, but just inserting a couple dinosaurs and some laser beams and some rocket ships kind of opens up the imagination, right?
Yep, exactly.
Love
and
that.
Now my kids actually, they'll take my phone and they'll do it themselves. They'll insert dinosaurs in. I take it to the next level when I'm actually preparing like a photo for Instagram. People are like, how do you do it? And I'm like, well, I use this app, but that's like the starting place. Then I go back to Photoshop. Then I go to Lightroom. And then I come back to Photoshop. And then I go to this little program called Snapseed. And then I got to go back to Photoshop to format it. And then I put it in Instagram. It's like it's a whole process.
Right. Well, for someone like you who spends so much time creating the best high quality content, I mean, you've had three CrossFit documentaries ranked in the top 100 bestsellers on iTunes, right?
Actually, four. So I've had four movies that went on to iTunes, and the documentary, like, yeah, they're the top 100 best-selling documentaries of all time on iTunes.
So when I think when you're creating content of that kind of caliber, you got to take Instagram to the next level, right?
Right.
You just got to.
Right.
No, I'm with you there. What's that app that you use to do the initial photo?
Lens FX.
Lens FX. Cool. I'm going to write that one down. That sounds like a cool thing.
Yeah, LensFX.
And I think anyone out there, if you're ever interested in trying something new, don't be discouraged by someone like Heber, who's using the whole Adobe suite and doing all this post-production stuff. Just start, just do something fun, and definitely check out Heber's Instagram because it is really dope. It's very unique, really digging that vibe.
Thank you.
So Heber, how did you get into CrossFit initially? Because that's another thing that I think really defines how you are as a person with your family and whatnot. It seems like CrossFit gives you a lot of joy, a lot of energy. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I would say just not even just CrossFit, but just fitness in general. Like, I'm a huge fitness enthusiast. I love working out. I love the endorphins I get from a hard workout, whether it's doing a Metcon from CrossFit or pure strength and conditioning, or, you know, even just doing a good old bodybuilding pump session. You know, like, I just like the feel of it. I got into doing CrossFit back before it was a buzzword. Probably the biggest description that I could tell you about my job there was when I started with CrossFit, I had to tell everyone what CrossFit was. No one knew what it was. They all thought it was P90X. And I'm like, no, it's not P90X.
Well, they implement I think what's really unique about CrossFit is the community, right? Yeah. P90X just kind of like watch a video at home. CrossFit's about community building, right?
Right. It's about working out with others, pushing others. Like, you go to your box, as they call it, and you build a relationship with the people that are around you. It's become a new place for people to meet and build a date. There's a big dating scene in the CrossFit world. I think there's dating apps in there just for CrossFitters. It's a big community. So, like, you go to a box, it becomes like your dojo. They're your people. And you know, if you're really committed and hang out, it's a great place to meet people and find friends when you move to a new city. Anytime I go to a new city, I drop into a CrossFit box, and automatically I have friends that think the same, we talk the same, and they know exactly what kind of restaurants I want to go to. So, you know, I get all the things I want to when I drop into one little place.
That's really cool. And I think really important for dads to surround themselves with the right community. I think that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So by getting involved in a community of like-minded people like CrossFit, that can help take your game to the next level, right?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot to have that. And then also it just helps to, for me, a big part of where I choose to go to work out is I want to be able to go to a gym where I can take my kids and have them see what I'm doing, because then they want to emulate it and do it.
So do your kids go to your gym with you? They work out with you at the gym often?
No, I mean, it depends on where I'm going. So some gyms don't, like, they're not cool with that. So, you know, they just hide out in the little kids' room. But then other gyms where I have like a full weight set and an Airdyne bike and barbells in my garage right now. And so if I go out and I work out, I'll get the little kids' barbell out and I'll be doing something. I'll look back and Finley's got the barbell on his back and he's trying to do lunges too, you know? So, like, they try to do what I do if the setting is okay for them to do that.
Do you find that when you're doing those home workouts that your kids end up being an extra weight for you to lift? I found that to be true in my house.
I think it depends on the workout. Some workouts I would allow that. Other workouts, it becomes quite dangerous for them to be around when I'm lifting a heavy barbell. And so we set parameters, and if it's a workout, they can come and jump on me. They for sure come and jump on me. But probably about 50% of the time, I'm for safety reasons, I tell them to stay away.
Yeah, I find when I try to do burpees at home and my daughter sees it happening, she's all into it. I feel like kids are really attracted to high energy, which is one of the reasons why I really feel like what you're doing and what ActiDad is about is important. Because to me, it feels like there's a stereotype behind becoming a father in that you're no longer going to have the chiseled abs or be able to do the things you've loved doing, like wakeboarding or skateboarding or playing football or basketball. It just seems like there's a stigma that you're past your prime. Do you find that to be true yourself?
Yeah, like I thought when you had your baby that you just got like some some New Balance 501s.
Right.
Grill and like a spatula. I think that just comes with the kit. No, yeah, I agree. Like, I think one thing for me, especially with health, is I loved when the hashtag dad bod became a thing. And I was like, no, that's not okay with me. Not that I care about the chiseled abs and whatnot. I just like to feel healthy. And sure, there's probably an element of vanity in that, but I want to be able to run and play with my kids when they're old. I want to be pushing them when they're 18, not decrepit and in the way. For me, very much part of my physical training is to A, keep energy to be able to keep up with them now, and also a longevity thing where I want to be able to keep up with them when I'm, you know, in my 50s and 60s.
Look, a body in motion stays in motion. Yeah. So if you don't move it, you lose it. I'm at kind of like that stage right now. We just had our 3-month-old, so I'm trying to burn off the pregnancy diet, which spilled over from my wife onto my plate quite often, as it were. But I'm always trying to find unique ways that I can maybe not necessarily work out, but exercise, keep my body moving, while also spending quality time with my kid. And with kids that are in that toddler age, what are some activities that you like to do that you bring your kids in on? Do you have any examples of that?
Yeah, actually, the other day I went to the track. We just took our two dudes to the track, and I said, hey, this is your playground. You have a football field to play in, and you can run on this track if you want. And so they did some quick races, and they quickly got bored of that, and then they played in the corner while I brought dumbbells there, and I was running 400 meters and doing dumbbell snatches, and would stop and talk to them briefly on my 400-meter loop and make sure they were good and keep going. So I kept my heart rate high for 30 minutes while I was doing that and running around chasing them for the first 10 and got myself in an awesome workout in under 45 minutes.
Solid. You just gotta move it quick. And it doesn't need to be an actual gym if you can't get there. It's hard for me as a dad and doing all these different things. It's hard to get to the gym regularly, which I think is another reason why the dad bod ends up occurring.
Yeah. I think you're working and you want to spend time with your kids. Like it's natural to happen.
Is that kind of, I mean, maybe you weren't thinking about this when you started making your CrossFit documentaries and in your movies before you started telling stories, right? But do you feel like your profession now of being a storyteller and creating documentaries has allowed you to have more quality time with your kids?
Yes and no. So I have a lot of time with my kids, but I also no longer work at CrossFit. I'm producing my own. So the documentaries that I've made in the past that have been on iTunes and Netflix, I made while working for CrossFit. I no longer work there, but I'm self-producing a new documentary, and I'm also producing like some call it a vlog, but it's bigger, you know, just like my photos are kind of a lot high production. It's a very high production YouTube channel that we have called The Buttery Bros. And because of those two things happening in the last 9 months, it's been a very chaotic 9 months. And I think my time with my kids has been down a little bit from where I would like it to be, but I'm working towards a place where I can be there for them at all times. And so, yes, filmmaking is not something I'm very lucky that my job is I'm my own boss. I can be kind of where I need to if I really need to be somewhere. But if you actually are making like Hollywood movies, it's not a great job for parents.
Right. Late nights on scene and or late days on scene, late nights doing the editing.
Yeah. Well, you're out of the house for 3 months at a time in production, and then you get back and you go right into post-production and you're working 12, 14-hour days. So it's like that job can be pretty gnarly. What I'm doing is like I was up till 4 a.m. editing a new show that we're putting out today at noon. And then I woke up 30 minutes ago to my kid jumping on my head and a reminder to hop onto this podcast. So juggling a lot of hats.
Yeah. And this is something that comes up a lot in the episodes is juggling time, because as a busy dad, you have responsibility to provide for the family, but you also have responsibility to spend that quality time with them. So I've gotten a lot of different feedback from different dads. And one of the things that I found true is just trying to live in the season. Like you said, maybe you batch your content creation, all the Buttery Bros, which by the way, Buttery Bros is a very, very cool YouTube site. It kind of spills over that vibe from the Heber's Instagram over to YouTube. It's really cool just to get that behind the scenes of what life is like as an awesome dad, high action, high activity, high quality video content. So anyway, what I really like about what you're doing there. Another question for you here. By creating high quality documentaries and by traveling around and meeting all these great people, different CrossFit locations, do you feel like that's helped you to grow by surrounding yourself with people like that?
Yeah, I think you learn a lot traveling, and you learn a lot about other people's cultures and an appreciation for people in general. And you learn about parenting. I see how certain people educate their kids or how they deal with them. And I'm like, oh, I want to take that home and be like that with my kids. Or I'll film, especially when I was working in the CrossFit space, and I still am a lot. Last May, I shot a commercial for a company where I was following a dad and his two sons around all day. And I learned a lot about how he interacted with his boys and how they had gym time and how it worked for them when their kids were a little bit older than mine, where they wanted some structure in their fitness, but not a full hour. So how I learned how he did that. But like beyond that, beyond like just gym stuff, I travel internationally. I see how things are done in Iceland or Australia or just anywhere you go, really any country you go to. I'm always looking for tips and tricks on how parents are dealing with their kids and how I can be a better father for my boys.
Yeah, be a role model, I think, is probably one of the biggest things that I've learned. Absolutely. What's an example of a way that you've helped inspire kids to be a little bit better? So let me contextualize this just a little bit for you, Heber. The other day I was interviewing another dad, has a cool dad YouTube channel, and he had mentioned that instead of telling his kids that he is proud of them, he encourages them to say they are proud of themselves. And that was an interesting takeaway that I got, because I always think of our job as fathers to empower them to be confident in themselves, right? Because in a world full of all this outside noise, it's important to know who you are. So what are some ways that you've helped to inspire your kids and empower them to be better?
Oh, we push them all the time into whatever they're interested in. So Finley right now is super into building trains. So we make everything available for him to have trains. Maverick is really artistic and loves drawing. And so we make sure we set apart like 30 minutes to an hour a day where we have just got a quiet time with a table available and markers. And my wife is really talented with that as well. So she'll sit down and help him draw and learn. Very high praise on all those things that they're doing, but also trying to educate them so they don't, you know, like they always want to be better. You know, for myself, I always try to happy but hungry is one of my friend's sayings. I try to encourage that with my kids, like, hey, this is awesome, let's try it this way too, so we can become better and know that, hey, what you're doing is really cool, what can we do to make it cooler?
Yeah, like hang it up on the wall and make a big deal out of it. We just started giving away stars. Whenever my daughter does something good during the week, we give her a little star, and yep, for some reason getting that little star sticker makes a difference in their life. Yep. Right. Makes a difference. One of the stars that we have, this is a good segue into another question here, Heber, revolved around eating your veggies. So as someone who's really into being physically fit, being your best self, how do you get your kids to get on board with eating right? How do you do that?
Dude, that's one thing I have not mastered. I'm not very good about getting my kids to eat well. I don't know. That's something that we work on regularly. For me, I'm at a point where I look at my kids' energy levels and I'm like, I don't know that they need any more energy. And so I think they're getting the food that they need. I think that's one thing. I think a lot of people overthink the food thing. I think as long as you're not stuffing candy down their face. For me, like the big things that I always push for Maverick and Finley is protein. That's like the, you know, veggies, you know, it's a carbohydrate. Every child is probably getting enough carbohydrates today. But if they're not getting their protein or fat, it can't balance the meal out. I encourage my kids very heavily that they need their protein if they want to be big and strong.
There you go. What's that go-to protein? Like grilled chicken?
They love chicken. They love grilled chicken. Finley loves barbecue chicken. So I'm always like, grab a barbecue chicken. And he's like, okay. And it's really just chicken with barbecue sauce dipped in it. And then Maverick is a big fan of cheese or yogurts. Every now and then he loves chicken fingers. That's kind of our go-to for those two. Yeah, basically just chicken fingers and cheese and yogurts.
Do you ever pretend to be a dinosaur when you're eating them to get the kids into it? Be like, all right, I'm a T-Rex and I'm just going to rip apart at this chicken. You ever try that?
I haven't, but they do it automatically. Like, I'll be like, hey, show me a T-Rex bite, and they'll go into character, you know?
I find that, like, if you can turn things into a game for the kids, they're much more into it. Rather than being the boss and saying, like, do this, do this, do that, like saying, hey, pick up your clothes. Instead of that, you might say, how quickly can you pick up your clothes?
Yeah.
And you're turning things into a game, I think, is interesting. It's someone who has done a lot of competition and certainly thinks about time a lot when you're editing. Have you ever, like, implemented a stopwatch or stop clock to get the kids moving quickly?
Oh, all the time. We time putting on shoes or eating, or if you can do this in under 10 minutes or 5 minutes, we'll watch a movie. Or, you know, like, I always have my against a clock, but like you just said, like, it's gotta be how you present things.
So what kind of stopwatch do you have? You have like something for your watch or your phone? Or
I just use my phone.
Got it. So timer's on, kids.
Yeah. Like, it's not only for like that, but also like, when you're getting to go somewhere, we always give them a 5 minute warning, a 2 minute warning, and then like, hey, we're getting out of here warning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're very aware of the clock, and that's, I don't know if that's from my background in competing and timing things, but yeah, we do that quite a bit actually.
Well, I'll tell you what, kids, it's been my experience that kids really have no grasp on time. 5 minutes means 30 minutes or something is small as picking up a few pairs of clothes is like 20 minutes worth of lamenting their catastrophe of having to pick up clothing. Kids are, yep. Toddlers are peculiar creatures, to yep. be certain. So what is your favorite activity? If you could go out, quick rapid fire question. If you could go out and do one activity with your kids, what would you do?
Boating. And I think that goes for kids at any age, where if you're on a boat, and this is something my family did a lot growing up. If you're on a boat, you're all together and everyone most of the time is having fun and you're away from society. Like, it's a weird place. It's like one of the only places, like cars, you can't really do it well, but there's this great interaction you have with family or friends when you're on a boat, water skiing, wakeboarding, wake surfing. No, you can kind of break off into different sections of the boat, but you're usually together. You're usually in places with bad cell phone service. When someone's wake surfing, you're encouraging them or you're cheering them on. And then when they're done, everyone's joking around with each other. And for me and my family growing up and with my kids now, it's always been a great place for relationships to have been built.
It's funny that you say that, Heber, because I understand exactly what you're saying. You're away from all the distractions and you're focused on just the human beings that are on that small vessel.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that way, but that's really true. And you can also have a lot of fun on a boat, obviously, like you said, wake surfing and skiing and wakeboarding and inner tubing and all those fun activities. Did you grow up around that stuff? Is that why you put such an importance on it?
Yeah, I mean, so we grew up here in Utah. We had a boat growing up for a few years and then got rid of it for a few years and then got it back in the middle of high school. Grew up around boats. So I love boating.
Is that why you're so good at the wakeboarding? Because when I saw that video on Instagram where you've got your kid in one arm and you're hanging on to the wakeboard in the other one. How did you convince your wife to let you do that?
I think I'm very comfortable in the water. And it was actually not wakeboard. It was wake surfing, which is a little easier to do. Wakeboarding actually wouldn't be that bad. But wake surfing, you're not going that fast. So it's not too terrible to have any problems with it. The kids... It was a little cold. They weren't excited about the cold of the water on that specific trip. But we've gone again, and they love it. They love the boat.
Right on. Very cool tip. Love that. So let me get into a little bit into your exercise routine. What is your favorite exercise, Heber? If you could do any exercise, what would it be?
Oh, man. Probably just bench press. But I like to combine things. Like, it's never just one thing. Like, I like bench press, but I like to do it when I'm breathing heavy. Just to challenge it a little more. So like, I love doing rowing right into bench press is a fun little combination of a push and a pull or even just like an airline bike right into bench press. So you're just completely out of breath and can't breathe, but then you're trying to stabilize and push heavy weight as well.
Good one. High heart rate type action there. Good. What about your worst favorite? What's the one exercise that you just don't want to do?
I don't know. So it sounds kind of cliche, but I always like to work my weaknesses. So I don't know that I have a least favorite exercise. There's ones. So like Airdyne Sprints or Assault Bike Sprints is the name of the new bike company. Basically, it's just like it's a bike where you go like this with your hands.
Yeah.
Sprinting on those, for some reason, if I go hard for like 45 seconds and then rest like a 2-to-1 ratio. So if I go like 30 seconds, rest a minute, attack again for 30 seconds, or even just like a sprint every 3 minutes, that just like I'm laid out on the floor. I'm like, I have a headache and I can't see straight. And it's typically things like that, like I'll always do on accident right when my wife needs me to be somewhere. And so I'll be like, babe, I can't move. I'm stuck on the floor. I need you to come get me.
I would say especially after drinking a bunch of milk too. I saw this other video where you were doing like a milk and cereal or milk and cookies mile challenge.
The milk and cookies mile. Yep.
Not a finest moment. How'd you get roped into that?
Fantasy Football League did not go so well for me that year. And so, the punishment was typically the beer mile. I don't drink beer. So we came up with a solution, which was the milk and cookies mile, where I had to run a 400 meter, drink a glass of milk, and eat 3 Oreos. And had I do it again, I would have cut it to like 2 Oreos and a little bit more milk. Cause I didn't like at the end of, if you watch the video, I couldn't puke, which if you're drinking beer and running the mile and you try to puke, you can puke, but I had to like force myself to, like, it was too gross. It was gross.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun, but it was a funny video to watch. And hey, it could be a lot worse. I've heard of some pretty bad fantasy football league downsides, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So one more quick fire question for you, Heber. Favorite dinosaur? What? Go.
Oh, it's got to be the Velociraptor, no question.
Nice. What's next, Heber? What's next for you? What's coming next? What are you excited about? What's on the horizon?
Right now, I've got some traveling coming up. I'm pumped about. I'm going to Aruba next month. Going to probably back down to Miami again. So I'm excited about some of those travels, especially because I get to take my wife and my kids on some of those. I always love to travel with them. It sucks being away for weeks at a time without them. More Buttery Bros shows on YouTube. Those are always super fun to make. And that's kind of my full-time job now, is just traveling around doing fun things on YouTube. And then the documentary we're producing, that'll be out probably next year. So like we're in the beginning stages of post-production, which takes quite a lot of time to do. So those, between those three things, and then also my kid Maverick just started his first day of kindergarten. I'm finding out what it's like to be able to ditch your kid at school for a few hours and pretend like you're going to work, but actually just come home and go to sleep.
Hey man, sleep is definitely in short supply as a busy dad. So I feel you on that one. Well, I'll tell you what, Heber, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes, and I am very excited to see all these different things that you're working on. Just really thrilled with it. Definitely check out Heber's Instagram. It is a really cool account. Very unique vibe, Heber. Really appreciate that. One more last question before I let all the guests go. One message for a billboard. What is it? You've got a billboard to get a message out to millions of people. Go.
Oh, man. I think about this a lot. I think the one word I would put up there is optimism.
Optimism.
So funny story about optimism. When I was trying to shape and mold Maverick as a child, my go-to movie is the Lego movie. Because the main character, Emma, is super optimistic. And so for like a year of his life, before he could decide which movie we were watching the Lego movie like every day. And I think it worked because he's extremely optimistic and he's super hopeful. And for me as an adult, I love that because it's very easy to fall into pessimism. It's easy to fall into negativity. For him to be excited and encouraged and loves everything, loves everybody. I don't know if it's because of the Lego movie, but for me, that's a big push for me as a father, is I want to see my kids be optimistic so that they're never down about themselves and also always building others up.
I think that's a great way to conclude the episode. Optimism. That's what I'm going to take away from this episode. Heber, thank you so much for your time. Have an awesome day. Definitely looking forward to what is next.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to this interview with Heber Cannon. I was really blown away by his motivation and his ability to not only do the things that he loves to do, like exercise, fitness, video creation, but also make sure that he takes time to really focus on his kids. If you haven't already, you have to check out his Instagram channel. It is bananas. He does some of the coolest stuff that I've personally seen on Instagram. I also want to, again, just invite you to check out the Act Dad group over on Facebook. This community is really amazing, and I think that you'll get a lot of value out of it. Once again, thank you for listening, and I will catch you next week, same place, same time, every Monday. The Act Dad show goes live. Hey, have a great one. Peace.